Great.
My name's Michelle O'Woon. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 17th of August 2009 and the time is 4:25 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
Yeah, my name's Jenny Tibbles. I'm 38 and I come from the West Midlands.
How are you feeling?
A little bit nervous, a little bit warm, quite excited and just like it's all a bit mad, really.
What do you mean it's all a bit mad?
Well, I applied to go on the plinth because I thought it'd be great to sort of have a little piece of in history. You know, it's something that not everybody's going to get a chance to do. So I applied, but I never actually thought I'd get picked because I've never really won anything in my life in terms of like a big competition. So I just applied, forgot about it, and then got an email saying, congratulations, you're on the plinth. Thought it was a complete wind-up joke. I thought, that's got to be a scam, even though I'd applied. And and then went onto the website and realised that actually, no, I'd got a place. So it all seems slightly bizarre, in a good way.
Why did you think it was a scam?
I think just because I'd applied and forgotten all about it, and just because I thought, I don't ever get to do things like that. So, but then I did think, actually, why would somebody go to the bother of scamming about the plinth?
Does it feel like so, you've won something?
I suppose it does, really, yeah. Because I applied to just to have that sort of little place in history, it does feel like I've won a place to do it, yes. And just because I know that actually there's a lot of people that have applied and got on, so.
So you said that for you it's a little piece of history.
Yeah. It's,
why else? Were there any other reasons that you wanted to do it?
No. Not really.
Just didn't want to miss an opportunity.
Yeah, because, well, like I say, a friend told me about it. I hadn't heard about it before. And I just thought, oh, that's a great idea, you know. And I do enjoy going to see art and, you know, I've got some friends that are good at art and really creative, but I wouldn't say I was creative myself, but I appreciate it. But, yeah, it was just the opportunity to do something that not many people are going to have the opportunity to do.
Can you describe what you're wearing on your t-shirt?
Yeah, I'm wearing a t-shirt, a blue t-shirt with Hope Junkie written on the front. And it was designed by my brother-in-law, and he doesn't know I'm wearing it, I think. But he can't watch any of it because him and my sister are off up to the Lake Districts at this very moment in time. So, but it's kind of, well, hopefully describes me in a way that I would like to hope for the best. But also what I'm wanting to do is write some little words of encouragement or little words of hope for people and wrap them up with some chocolate and chuck them off the plinth. So yeah, nothing profound, but it might cheer somebody's day up.
What kinds of things will you write?
Well, to be honest, I don't know. I'm gonna be in the moment and see what comes to me. So yeah. But maybe just really some words like just reminding people that actually they're unique and, you know, that it's really positive or that, you know, don't worry, have a great day. Just hopefully nothing too banal, but something that might cheer somebody up. Yeah.
How would you describe yourself as a person? Apart from being a hope junkie.
Yeah, a hope junkie. How would I describe myself? Don't know really. Somebody, I think, hopefully somebody that likes to take opportunities that life presents. And I've never really wanted to have a conventional kind of life, and I probably haven't so far. But yeah, just up for new experiences and, you know, trying things out. Pretty cheerful, hopefully. Love to meet people. Yeah, those kind of things.
What do you do for a living?
I work with young people, yes. I manage a charity working with young people.
Can you tell me
small charity.
More about that?
Yeah, we do street-based youth work. We do holiday activities. We're trying to do some work around well-being in schools. And yeah, we have little groups of young people that learning mentors might refer to us, and we'll do a little 6-week program looking at friendship, self-esteem, all about me, not all about them. Maybe things around bullying, and we'll just try and do lots of different activities to make it fun, but hopefully they'll learn things as well at the same time.
And how old are these children?
Mainly in year 6, which is 10 to 11. We also work with older ones as well, quite a mix. So, yeah.
What does the street-based work involve?
Literally going around the streets and seeing who's there, which has been interesting because actually it's often fairly quiet. Well, it depends what time of year it is, obviously, but it's often fairly quiet, and I think a lot of them are inside on computer games. Or that some of the parents, I think, actually don't want to let their children out, which is a bit of a shame. So, but we've got our regulars that we go and say hello to. One of them was saying, "We know what you do, you come and just check that we're okay, don't you? You come and see how we are," which I thought was really quite nice. So, in a good way. Not like the police.
Whereabouts do you do this?
Well, I do that in Sheffield, but I'm from the West Midlands originally. So, yeah, I work up in Sheffield. Yeah.
And what time of night do you go?
We go, well, around tea time, sort of 6:30 to 8:30. But we've tried it lots of different times, actually. And the best time is that sort of tea time slot. So,
what kinds of activities do you do?
Well, we've just done 3 weeks of holiday activities, and we do a lot of general things, some really low-key stuff like art and craft, making stuff, making kites and cards and all, really, really simple things, but actually they're quite effective because you sit and you chat and you know as people are doing stuff, which is really good. And up to taking them to outdoor centres, doing caving was a particularly interesting experience, particularly for myself and my colleague, as we're crawling through this tiny space on our bellies trying not to freak out as the workers. But we try and do a variety of things and try and take young people out of their comfort zones, so hence the caving. Also, we've been bike riding out sort of in the countryside, and then down to things like ice skating, rollerblading and stuff. So we try and get young people to be able to choose some of the activities that they'd want to do, and then we'll throw in some that maybe they might not think about so much, but we'll kind of push the boundaries a little bit with them.
And what kind of backgrounds have these children had?
It's quite a mix. I mean, the area that we work in could be described as deprived on all the counts of the census and all that kind of stuff. But just a real mix, really. You know, I think at the end of the day, people are people. So, but some of the young children some of the young people have to deal with quite a lot, you know, a lot of stuff. Parents that are maybe using drugs or involved in crime or have mental health problems. And, you know, when you sort of, when I see that, I think actually, a lot of people, you know, when they look at young people, they often get a really, really bad press, you know, in the newspapers and stuff. But when you hear some of the stories behind the young people, where they're coming from, what they're having to deal with, actually, you understand where some of that behaviour can come from. Not that it's good, but you kind of get a bit more of an understanding of, well, I'm not surprised. If I had to deal with that kind of stuff, I don't know what I'd be like, you know. I think there's a lot of emotional things that are very hard to deal with for some young people. Not all of them, but some of them, yeah. So
are you trying to build, you know, what you hope will be an ongoing relationship?
Yeah, the project was set up. It's a small charity, and so we haven't got government targets, which there's a lot of targets around at the moment to get people doing, you know, educational courses and stuff. Actually, fortunately, up until now, we've been able to work far more from just a community base where the young people are. And yeah, trying to get to know them, just trying to give them a place where they feel safe, maybe just 1 hour a week, you know, or just be able to have a bit of fun, forget their responsibilities. And hopefully we do that, you know, at least 1 week in their life.
Had you ever been caving before?
I hadn't, and I don't mind being hung up on a rock somewhere with a harness climbing, but caving for me and being in small spaces was one of my fears. So I'm glad I did it, because actually I think when you're working with young people and you're asking them to do something, you can't ask them to do something you're not willing to do yourself. And also I think you grow through facing your fears and stuff. So it was great for me to do it, but also to encourage young people to do it as well. And then to be able to admit to the young people afterwards, oh, actually, I was really scared. And they've seen you do it, but yet know that you were really scared. So, you know, hopefully through that kind of relationship and that kind of experience, that's how young people can grow and develop. And it's amazing what they remember. In previous jobs, I remember working with a couple of young people that were really, seemed to be really dyspraxic, so very clumsy, falling over stuff. And we did a big walk up to some rocks. We were going to climb some rocks, and this girl was like, I can't do it. And I was just going, slow, steady steps. That's all you need to do, slow, steady steps. And she did it in the end, which was great. And then a few weeks later, she came back and she said, oh, I was doing something at school that I couldn't do, and I just kept remembering you said slow, steady steps, and that's what I kept thinking, slow, steady steps. And I suppose things like that, when you get that feedback, that just keeps me going, you know. I think that's great, those little stories.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the West Midlands, in a town called, well, in Birmingham for a little while, and then in a town called Aldridge, which was just outside Walsall, the posh end of Walsall, apparently. It gets a mention in Anita and Me, the book. So, and I think Sarah Mayer went to my school before my time, but that's my claim to fame. A very different background to the young people that I work with, but it was good. And I had a really good youth work experience, which is why I went into youth work, I think. That was good.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that, your experience in youth work?
Well, from as a young person. Yeah, I suppose me and my friend, we were just a bit bored, and we were 13. And actually, that's right, I had to go to guides and I hated it. I couldn't bear it because it was a really boring guide. The guide just seemed to just sit outside and smoke. Hopefully I won't get her into trouble, but that was a long time ago now. And so we were kind of 13, I was desperate to leave guides, and there were two options in Aldridge. You could either go to the council youth group or the church youth group, and me and my friend, we weren't hard enough to go to the council one, so we went to the church one. But actually, when you say church youth group, now to a lot of people, well, people that I know, their youth group had about 10 young people in it, but actually there's over 100 young people in this group. So it was great, and we basically went because we fancied coming with the lads that went there, as you do when you're 13. And but actually, I think why I really appreciated it was, A, we got to do loads of stuff, and we got to hang out with loads of our friends, but also they really encouraged young people to get involved. And I suppose it was from a faith perspective, so you were kind of leading little discussion groups and giving talks and all the rest of it. I don't know what kind of heresy was taught as a result of letting us lot do the talks, but actually as a result, and also every year we did a charity performance which was either like people playing in a band or singing. And I used to end up, there were some guys that I knew that used to write all these comedy sketches, like in the lines of sort of airplane type wacky stuff. So I always used to end up being in one of those sketches.
Did you enjoy it?
I did, actually. And when I look back now, I realise that that's, I suppose, how I grew as a young person and developed confidence enough to go and stand on a stage and make a complete fool of myself. Probably like what I'm going to do this afternoon. But I think it was great, and, you know, not everybody has that opportunity, and being given responsibility, you know, obviously helped develop confidence as well. It's good.
You brought something else along with you today. Tell me what it is.
I have. I've brought my little teapot. Is that what you mean? Yes, I've brought a teapot and a cup and saucer and a flask of water and a couple of tea bags and some milk and a slice of cake from the Italian deli. Because I was thinking, well, what I think for me, a part of the One Another project, I mean, I haven't actually read much of the background to it, but I thought, well, it's like a snapshot of Britain you know, what's happening. That's was my take on it. And I thought, well, what do I really like to do? And B, what's a kind of really British kind of thing? And to me, it's to have a cup of tea. So, and I'm also known in my friendship groups for always putting the kettle on, like always saying, do you want a cup of tea? Let's have a nice cup of tea. It's got to be a nice one, obviously. So that's what I thought. I thought that's me. I can only be me, you know, and having a cup of tea and I sit down with a cup of tea is what I do.
Who are you doing this for, would you say?
Who am I doing it for? Probably myself, a bit selfishly. But also, I think the more I've told people, their first response is to fall about laughing, usually. Because I don't know, I think they think it's a bit mad. And then they give me all these ideas about things that I can do. But it's been interesting because I think people have been actually really encouraging, and there's some friends going to come and watch. My parents have come down from Birmingham. So I think for me, and also just so my mates can have a little laugh.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think that's it, actually. Yeah.
Thank you very much.